Waddle and Sylvie.
Podcasts are ready on the all-new ESPN Chicago app.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
If we reach the weekend here in the city, and it is glorious. The sun is still out. Waddle was just noticing the extra sunlight. In a couple weeks, we'll change the clocks.
How miserable is it when it's like
dark at 4:30?
Pitch black at 4:30.
Does that affect you more than the cold does?
The
early darkness at 4:20?
Yeah. They both drive me insane, but one drives me more insane than the other.
Yeah. My kids are getting up too early, though, these days with the sunlight in the morning. That's the downside of that. The sun comes out early, and then they want to get up. They think it's morning time. Daddy says it's not morning yet.
I got one downtown, one in Nashville, and one in New York. You all wake up whenever the hell you want.
Well, don't they?
You're not bothering me.
When you get older, you sleep in, don't you? I mean, the kids.
They do.
I'm talking about
the other side of that trade now. Like, I'm up at 6:15 every day.
When the kids reach, like, the teens, when they turn 12, 13,
they sleep
14.
Forever.
Right. You sleep till 11 o'clock in the morning. That's good.
I wish I could. I can't do it. And the big reason why is they're usually either watching TV or looking at their phone till 2 in the morning.
Yeah. It's the late night. So there's a lot going on for this Friday as you head into your weekend. The Bears have released Prince Mukamura. Probably not a shock to you. They saved $9 million on his contract. He played here in 17, 18, 19. It was pretty good.
It was a good stretch.
Yeah,
it was a good three-year stretch.
And they've also released Taylor Gabriel.
He had a good spin here too.
But he was for what he does and where the Bears are in the cap. Like that one for sure. That I'm like, you could find speed guys who are your third or fourth target.
Well, and don't forget that he struggled with concussion issue. I don't even know. I just saw recently that Jordan Reed from Washington, the tight end, was just taken out of concussion protocol, and then they released him once he cleared concussion protocol. I mean, and we're a month away, outside of the season.
He got that concussion in the preseason.
Wow.
Did you know that? So, like, Jordan Reed, do you know how many concussions have been documented?
Yeah.
The people keep tweeting to me, hey, Sylvie, what about Jordan Reed? Like you just said, Jordan Reed didn't play the whole year because of a concussion in the preseason. He's now had at least 7 documented concussions.
Well, and you wonder whether or not, I mean, you hope for the best for him and for Taylor Gabriel. I don't even know what Taylor's status is with regard to his concussion issues.
Reed had some toe issues, too. Like, he's had a bunch of, like...
He was a great player for a spurt of time.
Right. But I don't know if he's the Bears' answer. And the Bears' answer, with Trey Burton, being questionable, what are they going to do with him? Because isn't most of his money dead money?
You can't get rid of him. I mean, you're locked into him for one more year. What you hope is this recent surgery, or whenever the surgery took place, that has fixed a problem that has hindered him. I'm telling you go back and put on the tape of him in his first 6, 7, 8 games in a Bears uniform, and you're like, this is exactly what the Bears needed to fit this Matt Nagy offense. And then, whether it was injury or whatever the case may be, the offense went sideways, and he just wasn't nearly as effective.
Yeah. Abdallah, maybe you could pull up the stuff that Meller read this morning on Cap about the Cap. The cap issues the Bears have, because I thought it was really interesting. And now the Bears may get more cap space because of the new collective bargaining whenever that happens. If you're just getting into your car, it was not approved today by the players. The players did not vote. The 32 reps did not vote on this. They want to go back to the table with the owners sometime next week. But as Andrew Brandt pointed out, you still have a lot of time. Take a breath.
Yeah.
This thing is going to get done.
And when it does, it's going to add to the 2020 salary cap. So I believe the cap is currently, where is it now? Like right at 190, somewhere in that vicinity. They're talking about teams having an extra $20 to $25 million to spend.
Now, in just this year?
Yes. Yeah, the cap will go up about $20 million.
Wow.
That's what I heard, was an estimate. Which means all 32 teams will have extra cap space, so you'd be competing with them for free agents, but you really have very little. You created some today with the release of Taylor Gabriel and Prince Amukamara, but this Bears team, with the holes they have to fix in different spots, could use this CBA signing in the here and the now.
How about a conspiracy theory that Robert Kraft wants to push this negotiation through so his salary cap goes up so he can pay Tom Brady easier with Bill Belichick not groaning as much?
Yeah.
Do you buy that at all?
Well, I mean, I think all of the owners want to push this through as soon as possible because what they want to do is they want to start negotiating. They want to sign on the dotted line with the television networks for this new television deal, especially when you factor in an extra wild card game in the NFC and an extra wild card game in the AFC. There's more money to be made, and they want it now versus later. It's the time value of money. I can give you $5 billion more today, or I can give it to you a year from now. When do you want it? Well, I want
today.
It now. Right. So, I mean, there's an expediency here attached to the owner's angle. So, I don't know. I think it'll get done. I don't think that. I don't expect there to be a lockout or it won't be a lockout. It would be a strike from the players is what I would think. This will get done. I don't think the players will get everything that we would all want them to get. But my guess is this thing will get wrapped up before the 2020 season kicks off.
The boys scoffed at me today when I said that the Bears' best move this offseason could be the new collective bargaining agreement, meaning they add an extra NFC playoff team. So now, instead of only six playoff teams in the NFC, there would be a seventh, meaning an extra invitation to the dance. And maybe that's a really good thing if you're Matt Nagy. If you're an 8-8 team and you're looking to take that jump to 9-7, 10-6, wherever they have a really tough schedule again, this could be a good thing for the Bears, but you and Black kind of scoffed at
that. Well, I mean, is it a good thing? Because what if they are they're the seventh seed? They get in. They sneak in. But they're no closer to winning the Super Bowl than the Detroit Lions are. So then what? So then, you know, we get on the air and we're clamoring for change up at Hallis Hall, and then they bark back, well, we went to the postseason last year. I think this can prop up some teams as being better than they actually are.
What if a Mitch Trubisky starts the season and he lays an egg? And then you go 1-2 or 1-3 in those first four, but then you bring in the guy that you signed, and all of a sudden he gets on a heater like Ryan Tannehill, and now all of a sudden there's an extra playoff spot to chase in the last 12 games, and your season isn't done quite yet. How about that?
Well,
I could pitch that to you,
Cam. That's true, yeah. Or you could pitch me Duck Hodges, you know, being the quarterback for the Steelers as they play the 2-7 wild card game in the AFC. I don't want to see that. I mean, obviously, there's a territorial desire for me to see the Bears play. But look, I think I saw if you went back and retroactively you put this into place, I think the Bears got in 16-17, right? Isn't that the case? I think I saw that the Bears would have qualified.
16-17. Well, what?
I thought so. Or was it 17-8? I thought that they went. Had this plan been in place?
Well, they got in 18. 17 was John Fox's last year.
Was it 15 and what was Lovey's year?
I thought it
years?
Was like 11-12. Yeah, that
was it. 11-12.
Wasn't 11 the year that Cutler got hurt and they were still in it? And then 12 was Lovey's last year where they start 7-1, they finish 10-6, and they don't make the playoffs.
Okay, so there were a couple of years where they would have actually qualified for the postseason. Look, to make a long story short, I don't think it's broke. I don't see the desire to fix it. I'm not going to rage against the machine here. If there's three playoff games on Wild Card Weekend on Saturday, I'll watch all three. I'll watch all three on Sunday. I just don't I don't feel the need to add more mediocrity to the postseason.
How do you feel about, like, when this does get approved, the newest thing for football fans, like, we could... And some of you don't even care about how much money, extra money the players get or what the revenue split is. But when it comes to football, we've talked a lot about the 17th game. That's going to happen a few years down the road. How do fans feel? How do you feel as a Bears fan or as an NFL fan that there will be two extra playoff games in the first weekend, one extra playoff team in the NFC if you're a Bears fan? For your team that was really middle of the road, to now go grab this upcoming year. There's a little more room for error. Or is that just more mediocrity, and could that not tell the story?
Well, I want my team to win the division or to be one of the deserving two wild card teams. I don't want them to get in because we've lowered the bar. That's just, I mean, that doesn't do me any good.
Well, a lot of times teams tie and they lose a dumb tiebreaker with the same record because of something weird happening.
See, Sylvie, the thing that I look at with this whole situation, I feel like this last season, the wild card games that we got were above average.
Because they were good, yes.
The teams that we had were teams that either had established quarterbacks or young quarterbacks coming into their own. And I think the thing that concerns me is I recall many games in the past during wild card weekend where the team that is that last wild card team in has a really good defense, good special teams, maybe a above average coach, but some crappy quarterback. So the team isn't good enough to win their division, but they're there in the wild card game, and then they get into that game and they're completely outmatched,
right?
Because their quarterback play is terrible. And I feel like this now enters in a new category where teams with bad quarterback play certainly have a shot to make the playoffs now.
I get what you're saying, and I understand that. There also could be, though, teams more like the Giants when they won it. Weren't they 9-7? And I know they got in at the second wild card spot, but it's been proven that teams who do get that wild card spot can still win a championship. And if there's more unpredictability, if you're getting that number two seed to play in that first weekend, and there could be more upsets. I know what you're saying, Waddle, but a lot of times there could be two 9-7 teams and only one get in because of the tiebreaker. So the second team now getting in that normally wouldn't make it, they're the same strength as the team that got in. There's just an extra spot for them where you don't have to have a tiebreaker.
When does it end? So then do you think
an eighth team...
Well, I know, but I mean, you could make the same argument for the eighth seed in each conference, can't you? I mean, maybe there's a situation where a team...
Let them all in. Play a 32-team tournament. 32-team tourney.
I am not going to rage against it. More football, I get it. For some people, it's more better. I'm not going to complain. I just love it the way it is. I love the baseball postseason setup the way it is. I don't think they need to add teams.
This is
going to
be a rough year for you because
there's going to be more mediocrity.
Yes, you're going to get more.
Everybody gets a chance.
Do you, as a sports fan, do you guys not like the trend? Baseball is going to adopt more wild card teams, and now football is going to do it. 312-332-3776. That and Kyle Hendricks coming up next.
Waddle and Sylvie, weekdays 2-6.
Follow on Twitter at Waddle and Sylvie and at TWaddle87. ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
Is it more playoffs, more better? Is it more playoffs equals more participation trophies? That's the question. We polled the question right now on Twitter at Waddle and Sylvie. You can vote. Simple question. Are you in favor of more NFL playoff teams? Yes or no?
No.
Waddle believes it's going to be like 60-40. Isn't that what you predicted?
I think it's going to be better than 60% of you people out there want more playoffs.
Very early, only a couple hundred voted, as I put it up just a minute ago. And that's the way it's trending, Waddle. Yeah. You are a man of the people. You know the way the people think. 59.7% say yes. They're in favor of more playoffs. 40.3% say no.
I get it. It's America's passion. There's more gambling opportunities, probably more fantasy football opportunities, more football, more better, I think, in the vast majority of people's football brains.
And just to state my position, because I've been arguing with you in black, I was not an advocate saying, you know what the NFL needs? They need more playoff teams. That's what I say about college football. I don't want to start a fight with Black and Abdallah, but that is definitely what I pound my fist on the table for in college football. I don't do that with the NFL, but I'm not gonna like protest that there's an extra playoff team.
If this were the WWE, you'd hear my music crashing right now, and I'd be running in like the Ultimate Warrior. I'd be like, "Don't you dare touch my college football!"
I know. How dare you even bring it up?
I agree with you. If you're gonna do it, why not? Why can't I have a game at noon and 3-6? Why not? Who cares? What does it matter? That team's probably gonna lose anyway. It's another gambling opportunity. And if they win, cool. All right, maybe the Bears win a game. Why not?
I think we got to have a two-on-two basketball game against these two black.
Cage match.
I don't know about Sylvie, but you don't have to worry about high standards versus mediocrity. Yeah, we'll take them down.
You know, Waddle can't shoot, though. Can you shoot, Black?
Yeah.
I cannot shoot.
Waddle's like a hustle dork when it comes to basketball.
Doubt. Ask him, Dahl. Can I shoot?
All you have to do is, he can shoot, but all you have to do is to get him to cut right or left, and his knee will go out like that.
Oh, really? Is that our strategy?
Yeah.
We're going to make him blow out his knee?
I cannot throw the ball in the ocean from the edge of the boat.
That's right. I got you.
I got no shot.
And I don't even play anymore. My friends
don't either.
And they say, hey, you want to go get a run in? I'm like, no, I like my Achilles.
And I never played.
I used to love it. I've told you guys this recently. Nothing would get me like more excited than just to go to the park and play basketball.
Just to go to the gym
and get in a, you know.
A good sweat?
Yeah, get a good pickup game. The local community center at the rec center in college. Loved it. Now, keep it.
Yeah, you don't want to blow out an Achilles. Nobody does.
Jamie in Fox Lake. Jamie, you're on ESPN 1000.
Hey, guys. Big fan of the show. First-time caller, man.
Thank you, Jamie.
Big fan of what you guys are talking about. Usually not a big sports guy, but you guys and this channel make me tune in. So just want to get that out of the way first and foremost.
Thanks, Jamie.
And I'm all in for this, but the only way I'm in for it, the only way is if there's a reward system. So, like, you win the division, obviously there's home field advantage, but then upper echelon teams within your division or however you want to score it, you get higher price incentives. You know what I mean? Hit them in their pocketbook, and they're going to play. They're going to have the desire to do it. But that's just the way that's the only way. If that's not involved, then you can forget about it.
All right, there's Jamie. So he's okay with more playoffs. I think that's what he said. Is that what he said?
I really wasn't able to follow.
John in Naperville, you're on ESPN 1000. He said, gave us such a good compliment.
I know, and then I kind of lost steam for it.
You're on ESPN 1000. What's up?
Guys, expansion, it's coming.
Well, we know.
I got it.
We were asking if you like it or not. Are you talking about more teams?
The league is expanding. They got to add more teams. Not so sure about that. You don't think so?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, I haven't heard that. Usually you get a whisper of that.
I mean, in a few years? Dang.
Well, I wouldn't rule it out, but, I mean, when was the last time they expanded? It was the Texans, right?
Yes.
That was a bit, yeah.
Which city, John, if you could have it, is thirsting for Oklahoma City. Okay. See, that is the football hotbed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Listen, John. If you want to expand the league, okay, and now there's 34 teams, and then you want to add, then the ratio becomes different.
Is this like a lead in to more a London team, where if we give London like the full slate of games with an expanded schedule and they do well, is that the precursor to the Jags or an expansion team moving out there?
Who's going over there? I mean, how can you be based over there?
I don't like it either. It doesn't make sense to me.
Wouldn't Mexico City be a more realistic option if it wasn't a team in this country?
I don't know. At least
the time zones are a little bit closer compared to
I mean
they do play games down there, right?
They do, yes. But I don't know that you're ever going to have an NFL team based out of a foreign country.
Unless it's Canada? Or would that never happen?
I don't know. I mean, I don't think so.
Toronto?
But I may be wrong. I don't know. I don't know what their plans are on this front.
Maybe that's why they're going to increase. I don't know. Maybe they can do that.
I just know this. As is, I'm good with the playoff system. You've got six out of each conference. That's 12 of 32 teams. There is value to being good in the regular season in the NFL in ways that it's not in other leagues.
It's like one of those perfect recipes.
I think you've perfected
your recipe.
Why am I trying to improve it? Have you had one of those chicken nuggets in there from Chick-fil-A?
Don't change a thing.
Why would you throw ketchup on it?
I don't want it.
Why would you dip that in the mustard sauce?
I'm with you on that.
Why would you salt it? Why would you put pepper on it? Why would you do anything to it?
People love that stuff. And I'm always like, this is so... Like, the French fry is good enough. Like, when you get really good fries, why do I need ketchup on it?
I don't need it. I'm with you.
Why do you need steak sauce on a steak?
Keep your sprinkles. I don't need them on my ice cream.
Joe's in Park Ridge. Hey, Joe.
Hey, guys. How we doing?
We're great.
All right. I say, I agree with you, Tom, that it's fine the way it is. I'm not going to argue with you there, but I will say that your reasoning when you say that it's going to bring more mediocrity. You already have mediocrity year in and year out. You have teams that win their division, their lousy division, that there's probably the seventh team would be better than that team.
Well, then they'd have a better record, though, wouldn't they, Joe?
How about when the Patriots were 11-5? Were they not probably better than and didn't make the playoffs? Were they not probably better than some team that won a lousy division?
They could have been. They had who? Matt Cassel as their quarterback at the time.
And they did not make it.
I mean, they're going to be some anomalies regardless. Now, Joe, there are going to be scenarios if you expand this to seven teams in the AFC and the NFC. There's going to be an eighth team and a ninth team that you can maybe you could make the same case for.
You are correct. I'm not going to – like I said, I'm fine with it the way it is.
Yeah.
But the reasoning, I mean, to say that it's going to bring more mediocrity, I mean, we already get at least one mediocre division winner every year in each conference. I mean, there's
– Joe. What were the Rams' record? Was it – were they
97?
Yeah. So they were the same record as the Philadelphia Eagles, right?
But Joe, you're ignoring the fact that, okay, in my right hand, Joe, I have a batch of mediocrity, okay? So I've got a handful of mediocrity. In my left hand, I have more mediocrity, right? If I take my left hand and pour what's in my left hand into my right hand, what do I have? I have more mediocrity. It's simple math.
empty cup, right?
I'm just saying.
I was not told there'd be math on this show.
Well, I'm just saying, you're right. There's existing mediocrity, but if you add another team, aren't you adding to the mediocrity?
Well, he's saying that there could be, like, think about the NFC West, how good that division was. You had San Francisco, who was the number one seed. You had Seattle, who was great, too. And even playing those teams all the way around, the Rams were still above 500. So they played in a harder division, and they didn't get in. But just because the Philadelphia Eagles play in a lousy division, they did get in. So you could have a team go.
I thought the Rams were very mediocre.
Well, yeah, maybe this year, but he's right. There could be a 10-6 team who's good in third place who may not make it normally, but a 9-7 division winner or an 8-8 division winner get in.
Isn't that why you play the two games against the other three teams in your division, though? To then determine whether or not you're worthy?
Like, no, because you could have just all the teams beating up on each other, and then they can go 8-8.
But like to Waddle's point, did anyone clamor to see the Rams again? Like the fact that they didn't make it, I think everyone was like, yeah, we get it. They're not good enough.
There has to be, in my opinion, there has to be a limit. I mean, so if you open the door for 7, why not 8? We could have the same argument all the way down to, you know, maybe 9 or 10 teams.
So if you add 8, then no buys?
Yeah, that's what he's saying. Yeah.
Oh, death match.
We got four wild card teams or games each day.
Then it's just playoffs.
See, I think this is okay because you're adding teams without adding a round, like Meller said. You're adding teams but not adding a round. So it's not like you're making this extra tricky. You're just getting an extra game in each conference.
They're not doing it, okay, to make it better. You know why they're doing it?
To make more money.
Right, and I'm cool with that. Yeah. I'm just saying.
You're right about that.
Like, the impetus is not because, you know what, we need to do to make our sport better. We need to add a seventh team in the postseason in the AFC and the NFC. They're doing it for money, and I'm not hating them for it. I'm just saying, I mean, this isn't because the sport's in trouble and they need to get more people excited.
Viking Scott, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Scotty?
Guys, you know what I've learned? I got a call before G and Greco because just his persona through the radio throws me off my game. The other day I called and I got thrown off my incomplete tangent.
You were shook.
So I'm going to get to it. So we're going to add more mediocrity and punish a team that's 12-4 and take away a bye. To me, that just doesn't seem right. So a 12-4 second seed team normally might get a bye. Now they got to play an extra game for being 12-4 or 13-3, just to add an extra team in there for a 9-7 team?
Well, it is to Waddle's point, and you could say that you're actually giving more bonus to the mediocre team than you are to the really good team. Because you are making it right.
We're going to go from 37% of the teams to 43% making. We're getting closer to basketball and hockey, which to me, man, you got a 16-game schedule to prove your worth. It's not broke. Don't fix it. 6 is a perfect number.
You may also find yourself, the team, let's say like the Patriots play in the crappy AFC East and they have a 14-2 record. Well, the Baltimore Ravens may be a better team at 13-3.
But because the Baltimore Ravens may play in a more difficult division.
It's like the NFC West,
right,
like I was
exactly.
saying.
So, I mean, you can play that what-if game in different directions all right. day long.
I think the reason why they're making the second seed play is because they want more impact from the number one seed. So teams aren't resting guys. You know, if you've already clinched a home field bye, you say to yourself, well, we don't have to play week 17 now, our 16th game.
I, oddly enough, don't have a problem with only one team with a bye. I'm not bothered by the second best record isn't going to get a bye. That doesn't bother me. I just don't like the mediocrity that's being added to the postseason. I'm a bigger opponent of 17 regular season games. It's too much for me.
We'll continue to take your calls. The phone number to reach is 332-3776. Kyle Hendricks, who is always can't miss radio, very underrated, all around good guy. He will join us next.
Coming up next,
Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Bring Waddle and Sylvie with you at home or in your office. Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Kyle Hendricks has been one of my favorite pitchers in baseball. He's pitched one of my favorite games ever by the Cubs as they won the pennant in 16. He beat Clayton Kershaw in that game six, walked off the field to a standing ovation. Chapman would get the double play against Puig to end that thing. And Kyle is entering the prime of his career as he's 30 years old. He joins us right now on the Corona Hotline. Kyle, always great to talk to you. So after thinking about things in the offseason, what are your goals heading into spring training?
You know, honestly, the personal goal for myself is just really consistency. I think that's the main word I've been focusing on. I've made some changes to my routine in the offseason and really feel good. You know, at this point in spring, I feel ahead of schedule than where I've been the last 2 years, per se. So it's really just focusing on that consistency in everything. First, consistency in my mechanics, consistency in my motion, and then consistent pitches, you know, consistent action on them, location, and work from there. And hopefully, once the season comes, you know, I just want to be that guy that every fifth day I take the ball, a team knows what they're going to get out of me, and really make all 32 starts be out there for the full season, you know.
Kyle, I've always been curious, does someone like yourself who's not a power pitcher, do you have to consistently adjust and tweak what you do, not even year to year, but maybe start to start?
In a way. I got Rick Sutcliffe walking up right now.
Oh, yeah. Oh, there you go.
Quick pointers here on the field.
Is he teaching you hitting again?
Yeah.
100%. He's always teaching me hitting, man. That's where I got to work.
It's perfect.
But no, to your question, yeah, you know, it's just adjustment start to start. It's the same, you know, it's always pitching for me. My focus is if I make good pitches, then I'm going to get the good hitters out, you know. So I focus on what I'm doing, making the good pitches. From there, it's more game planning, you know. So, yeah, the game plan and the approach could change start to start, especially if you're facing a team a lot throughout the year. You know, you have to change up what you do. You can't do exactly the same thing every time. So I would say it more comes from a game plan and a scouting report perspective, though, of where I change.
Kyle Hendricks joining us, Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000. All right, so what was your first impression of David Ross when you were a younger player in 15? And how is that different than the first impression he made as your manager in 20?
Yeah, you know, it's funny you ask that. So it's really, the impressions are not much different, to be honest with you. When Rossi showed up as a player, I mean, he brought the same, you could feel his presence, he's still the same passion for winning, passion just being around the game, being around the guys, and showing up as a manager, I mean, it feels so natural. It feels, you know, like it's the perfect position for him. He came in with that same fire, same energy, same guy he's always been, really. You know, he's so connected to a lot of the players on this team, but there's always been that trust and respect, and it's not going to change. You know, he gets fired up, like I said, and the passion he brings for focusing on the details of the work, but just a flat out winning. You know, that's it. It's been really fun so far, and just hearing him talk to the group, you can really tell the change in energy, and I think it's really translating down to the whole team at this point.
So, is there a significantly different vibe in camp? Not to take a shot at Joe in any way, shape, or form, but is the vibe different in camp this year?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, the vibe, I would say, is way different. It's a lot different. But like you said, there's a lot of different ways to get the job done, you know. So when Joe came, I loved absolutely every moment with Joe. You know, I'll never be able to relive those years. And it was an awesome 5 years we had with him. And at the time, that was exactly what this club needed and this group. And now, you know, things change. And like you said, I think this is exactly what this group needs right now. Kind of that energy, the kick in the butt, and bring back the accountability, you know, and build the relationships with the guys next to you. And so when we get in the dog days and late in October, we know we can rely on each other.
Hey, Kyle, as a veteran and someone that, I mean, if you use hindsight to kind of guide you, if you look back, did Joe's lame duck status have any impact, tangible impact on you guys last year, in your opinion?
No, I don't think so. You know, it just, we just couldn't seem to get over the hump there at the end. You know, it was kind of lost a little energy. It could have been a loss of focus, but I really don't think it was that. You know, we went through some adversity, and we went through a couple bad injuries really late there that really hurt us. And that'll always hinder a group. You know, being healthy has always got to be number one to success. So that's where our focus is. But no, at the end of the year, I think there were just a few factors that played in, and we just couldn't get the job done. So, you know, we've been through a lot of experiences together with this group. And I think, like I said, I'm just really excited to have this new energy from Rossi and the other new coaches we've brought in. There's an awesome staff around us, and we're just really enjoying coming to the ballpark every day and working hard.
Kyle Hendricks joining us. It's Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000. We were talking to John Lester the other day, and he was telling us that he didn't mind that there wasn't a lack of change. He says, because we're good. What was your opinion on the offseason, and how good can you be?
Yeah, I completely agree with that. I mean, you see the group we have in this clubhouse, we've done it before, you know? So it's really, we have all the talent in the world. We have unbelievable players in that clubhouse, and 100% we have the guys to get the job done. So that isn't the problem, you know? So bringing these changes around us to kind of renew the energy and renew that focus and have that one goal in mind as a group, you know, to be there at the end of the year, that's really where our focus needs to be. And we're so close as a group, like I've said, been through so much that we know we can get it done at the end of the day.
Look, like power rankings came out today. You guys are like in the middle of the league. Is that extra motivation, or is it a good break of not being the hunted?
Yeah, you know, I don't think you look at it either of those ways. I think it was the same when we were projected to win it, you know, and we had the bullseye on our back. We still tried to block out all the outside noise, and that's kind of the same spot we're at right now. We try and block out all the outside, because at the end of the day, like we just talked about, we know what we have in that clubhouse. We know the guys we have. And if someone puts us in the middle of the road, we just look at them and we go, okay, you know, they must not really know what they're talking about. So, we put the focus back onto us and on the work we have to do. And we know we can go prove ourselves at least. And it's a clean slate. We can go out there day one and win as many ball games as we can.
Kyle Hendricks joining us, Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000. All right, I say Chris Bryant is your leadoff hitter. You say what?
I say it's perfect. I mean, that guy, I've seen it for so many years, but he puts together an unbelievable at-bat every time up. Sees a lot of pitches, gets on base. He's underrated in a lot of aspects, too. He's an unbelievable base runner. He's just such a really, really good overall baseball player. So in this day and age, trying to get your best player the most at-bats, I mean, I'm so excited to have him at the top of the order and just set the tone for the rest of the guys.
As a guy who takes the ball every fifth day, is that the kind of leadoff hitter you don't want to face as an opponent?
For sure. In ways, absolutely. Especially being a starting pitcher, you know, it's been one of my things to work on. But you go into a game and you kind of want to work your way into it, you know. I've tried to kind of change that mindset myself and go out and attack. But overall, I would say starters, they like to go out and, like I said, kind of relax, get into the groove of the game. And when you go right out there and you see KB in the box to start, I mean, you better have your stuff. You better be dialed in for pitch one, because leadoff double or leadoff anything could happen. And, yeah, you know, the wheels start spinning off. So, yeah, I think it's going to put a lot of pressure on other teams, and I'm really excited that he's just on our side.
What is Yu Darvish like these days compared to when he first arrived, Kyle? And I ask you that because from the outside looking in, it appears like he is more settled in.
Yes, he is way more settled in. I think, you know, he's an awesome dude, and so he really likes building relationships and getting to know guys and being comfortable, and so it took a little time for that to come to fruition, you know, but right now, he's so close with everybody on his team, some awesome relationships with guys, and you can see how comfortable it's made him. And it's translated to confidence, you know. He's confident in himself now and what he can do, and just going out there and being himself. You know, he doesn't have to prove anything to anybody around here. We just let him go about his business, and I think he really enjoys that. So I can't tell you how excited I am for him to build off what he did at the end of the year last year.
All right, Kyle, now it's time for the obligatory question about the Astros and the cheating scandal. I mean, do you have strong feelings or thoughts about what's transpired over the last several weeks in terms of the information that has been released?
Yeah, you know, I think I'm not the guy that's going to really have the soundbite. You know, my personality stays more low-key, but obviously, I mean, you can't have those kind of things going on in the game. You know, I would say there's ways to go about trying to pick signs or trying to do certain things. And if you have a runner on second base, you know, and you're looking at the catcher trying to get their sequence or things like that, there's ways in game to try and, you know, quote unquote cheat, I would say. But when you go beyond that to using video cameras and things like that, you know, relaying signs, it just, it takes away from the integrity of the game. And I know we don't do anything like that around here, so we're proud of the way we play the game and the brand we play, and so we're always focused on ourselves. But overall, yeah, you don't want to see that at all in the game of baseball.
We've talked to hitters about this to try to put it into perspective so our listeners can understand. I want to know from a pitching standpoint, so you've got a career 3.14 ERA. If every hitter knew which pitch was coming that you were throwing, how much higher would your ERA be?
Yeah, it would be a lot higher. It would be a lot higher. I don't know how to quantify that, to be honest. But, yes, these guys are the best in the world already at what they do, you know. So to get an advantage of that aspect, you know, or to that level, I guess, it's going to inflate numbers big time. So, yeah, you just want to see the game played the right way. We want equal competition. We want to go out there and know the guy in the box. It's just playing that game between the two of you, you know, and there's nothing added in there extra to give any side an advantage.
On a lighter note, did you do anything interesting or creative in the off season?
You know, I had a really good off season, actually. I did a bit of traveling. I went to Maui once with some family. Went to Cabo. First time I've been down to Cabo, actually. Did a friends trip down there, which was really fun. And then, you know, the holidays, got to go around and spend with family. So I spent a lot of time with family, got to go to some cool places, and that's really all I like to do in the off season. Just kind of get some downtime, get away, get to some tropical spots, but also just spend time with family. So it was really perfect for me.
Speaking of that, I had somebody tell me during the off season when I was talking some Cubs, they said, you won't believe this, but Kyle Hendricks growing up was great at martial arts. True or false?
Well, I would say false then, because we don't say it's being good or bad, you know, you're in martial arts. There really is no good or bad. It's the practice of doing it. No, I loved when I did karate and taekwondo. I did it growing up from about 4 to 13, those ages. And, yeah, you know, I don't really remember much, but as far as, like, the discipline and kind of the mental approach you could take, it taught you that from a really young age, and I think it has really translated. I've carried that with me, you know, into my later life.
I know when the Astros need an ass kicking, who we should call.
There you go.
Call Kyle.
You know, we'll put Darvish out there. Somebody throws hard and let him take care of it that way, you know.
Kyle, yeah. You're the best. We always appreciate your time. Thanks for joining us today.
Yeah, thanks, Kyle.
Always, guys. Yeah, I really appreciate it. Take it easy.
Good line, Waddle. That's very good.
Somebody, you know what?
Yeah.
Listen, if you want to charge them, if you're going to get in a fight, you better know who you're fighting.
Did
right?
you know that? That
I had no idea.
Kyle Hendricks is a black belt, from what
right.
I understand.
Like, and he's, you know, the nicest guy in the world that could probably put his size 12 shoe in your face and make times tough for you. So don't go after Kyle.
Absolutely. All right, what to watch for is next. This is one of my favorite segments. Well, and by the way, Gene Greco normally on with us Fridays at 5:30. He is under the weather yet again. We were texting with him. He's getting old.
He's under something.
Old people get sick all the time. Was this a cap situation?
He's making it up?
I told him I was gonna throw him under the bus if he called out sick.
Okay, so share with us coming up next, right. And then what to watch for. It's all next.
It's Waddle and Sylvie.
Hi.
Follow us on the gram at Waddle and Sylvie and at ESPN _ Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000.
Happy weekend to everybody. Got a busy weekend going on. A lot happened today. Taylor Gabriel, Prince, Samukamora, both released by the Bears. No collective bargaining agreement yet. Could happen next week. They're going to meet with the owners. The players' union will again. But to get you ready for the weekend, one of our favorite segments, it's brought to you by Swift & Sons American Steakhouse in the West Loop in the Fulton Market District.
It's awful Swifty.
Going to Hawks tonight, Hawks Preds.
Whoa, yeah!
You see, it's Jimmy Buffett night there, Waddle.
Every night's Jimmy Buffett night.
No, but they've got, like, everyone, they've got the atrium decked out
you
in,
better.
Like, beachwear.
Yeah. Cheeseburger in Paradise.
So if you're going to the Hawks game, stop there before or after the game. It is absolutely awesome, right nearby the United Center. But it's a great destination for the weekend, for a big anniversary, birthday party. You're absolutely going to love the steak and seafood that they have to offer at Swift and Sons. Let's get to what to watch for.
Waddle and Sylvie get you set for your weekend viewing with what to watch for.
Waddle, what are you watching for this weekend?
I suck at this segment because I don't know much television stuff. You know,
yes,
I'm always that low-hanging
fruit
guy. It's pretty
easy. Just pick something to watch.
Deontay Wilder and Tyson Fury Part 2. We have hyped the crap out of this for weeks now, and they're going to get it on 9 o'clock on ESPN+. Plus. I'm watching that. How about that?
Does the fight actually start at 9, or
well,
is that
you
when
better,
we're...
You better settle in.
Never.
Well, I just want to make sure. I want to know...
Listen, didn't you sit and you watched all of the lead-in to the NBA All-Star game?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Okay,
I'm good with the whole card.
9 o'clock.
I'm not raging against the card. I was just asking, because don't fights usually get started at like 11 our time?
Yes, I'm usually asleep.
Yeah, this is something I'll probably watch in bed and then quickly fall asleep.
You got a prediction for me, Waddle?
Will Fury do the unthinkable and win? I think Deontay Wilder beats him.
I say Wilder with a fifth-round knockout.
Teddy Atlas in the house. Yeah.
What do you guys think?
Early.
I think it's Wilder the distance.
Okay, so another decision.
Hey, all I want is a good match, okay? The wilder, the better.
Match? Fight?
Fight, right?
Terrible. Yeah, but he was making a pun.
No, I know. I ignored it. I'm going to go Wilder as well. That's what I'm betting on is Wilder by knockout. I don't know, fifth round. Maybe I'll throw some money on an early round knockout, but I would assume that Fury's going to hang around for a while.
They're doing the weigh-ins right now, and Wilder just looks... better.
He just looks like
I don't want to mess with Wilder.
You see what his pecs are doing right there?
Yeah, they're moving up and down. He's a little pec workout.
I can do that.
Fury to me always reminded me of one of the characters in Mike Tyson's Punch-Out. one of the unfit boxers.
Is there another sport we know less about than boxing?
No, there's some boxing I know about. I used to get it on when we used to Sugar Ray Leonard, Marvin Hagler, recorded that fight back
in
the day.
Dude, you were 10.
No, I was older than that, about 13,
okay,
14. Yeah, I mean...
Oh, my God, you just gave me the stink eye for saying that you were 13 instead of 10.
No, but I'm saying there are sports I know less about than boxing. I'm not saying I'm a boxing expert.
Like, Fury looks like he's got two tubes for arms. They're just like tube arms.
But he is...
You're
huge.
Saying they're not defined.
Yeah,
I'm with you, Sylvie. Boxing is one of those sports I wish was bigger in the national conversation because I love fight night and I love big fights like this. And it seems like we don't get too many, especially in the heavyweight division, like what we're going to get on Saturday night. So I'm pumped. We're all going to Waddle's house for the pay-per-view.
Yeah. Abdallah just said he's going to watch it in bed. I don't know which bed you're going to be in.
You've got a lot of beds.
That's what you said. We got to be here
8 o'clock in the morning. Black and Abdallah 8 to 10 on Sunday.
That's what I'm watching for.
Mm-hmm.
So the weigh-ins, Wilder weighed in at 231, Fury at 273. I heard he cut out some food over the last 8 weeks.
273 fat.
Hey, but I think he was heavier the first time.
He's not the most, he just gave him the double bird.
Yeah.
He's not the most, muscularly defined
That's
guy.
What I'm saying. Yeah. He looked to me like I don't know who that was in Mike Tyson Punch-Out, but I seem to remember a guy who looked like him.
Yeah, the key to the fight is Fury is by far the better boxer. But Wilder has the right-handed hammer.
Didn't Fury almost kind of just quit and get away from the game? Didn't he?
Yeah, and he also has been on the record of saying he doesn't have to box a perfect match. He just has to be perfect for 2 seconds, and that's all that matters.
He's predicting a knockout in the second.
He's got love handles. Boom. He's got love handles.
Yeah. See, we could do a whole show on boxing. My what to watch for twofold. First of all, this isn't something you could watch for today or tomorrow, but it was officially announced today. There will be a Friends reunion, Waddle, a 1-hour special on HBO Max in May. So in case you did not know about that, the Friends reunion with all the characters from
Friends.
Are
they all still friends?
Yes.
Okay.
They all are still friends. So that is happening. And then for my what to watch for, it's something to read. And this I read yesterday for the first time. Players Tribune,
I read that.
Ben Gordon talking about his fight with mental illness over the last several years. It is something to watch for, as in click on it and read it, especially if you were a big Bulls Ben Gordon fan.
Yes, it was very good.
And what are you watching for, Abdallah?
Guys, I'm going to go to the Amazon Prime, and Hunters season one debuts today. It's about some Nazi killers, Nazi hunters. It's got Al Pacino in it. It's produced by Jordan Peele, who did Us and Get Out. Sure. So I'm going to check that out. If you have Amazon Prime, if you get those Prime packages, you have Amazon TV. It's not something that you got to pay extra for. Right. You're paying extra for Amazon packages to be delivered for free.
Is this hyped? Is this something that people are anticipating?
Yeah, I saw a lot of commercials for it. I don't know. It looks cool. I'll give it a spin.
Good cast. I mean,
yeah, it's got a decent. It's got Al Pacino in it.
Yeah. Ooh.
Hoo-ah.
And Chris Black in for Mallor. What do you got, Chris?
Yeah, I'm all about the fight Saturday night, but also I'm going to watch on Sunday at 2:30, Lakers-Celtics.
I was going to say that was definitely on your list.
Yeah, yeah. So definitely the NBA stuff and then the boxing. Like, that's a great weekend for me, so that's why I'm going to keep my eyes on.
That's good stuff there this weekend.
You guys want the Gene Greco story?
Oh, yeah. What happened?
So yesterday, I'm leaving here before I go to the Bulls game at the United Center, and I walk our first Midwest Bank State Street Studios on the corner of State and Lake, right across from the beautiful Chicago Theater. As I'm walking out on Lake Street, there's a Jason's Deli right there. Yeah. I'm walking to Dearborn to meet my wife, who's driving up so we can go to my wife, so we can go to the United Center. And out of Jason's Deli, no coat, it's 10 degrees with a -3 wind chill. Out walks Mark Giangreco, no
with
coat.
With or without the hairpiece?
No hairpiece. It was windy. It was windy. No hairpiece. He left it. He left it in the studio. He left it on the mannequin with an ice cream cone. And now he's sick. Now he's got a tickle in his throat. You're eating ice cream in 10 degree weather, and now you got a tickle in the throat.
Well, maybe that's why he got sick.
Suspect. Suspect, if you ask me, Mr. Gene Greco, who hopefully is listening.
Maybe he just had plans on a Friday.
Yeah, he goes, I'm feeling sick. I might call in tomorrow. I go, yeah, I'm sure. Uh-huh.
Abdallah, he said he caught the flu from you when he texted Waddle and me last night.
Yeah, that is true. We were making out.
Excuse me?
What?
You guys were making out? Really?
Happy weekend.
You know, what to watch for.
All right, the Odds Couple coming up next. It's Mike North along with Carmen DeFalco for the plays of the weekend. That's in just 2 minutes. Thanks to Al Michaels, Kyle Hendricks, Andrew Brandt, and Jason Benetti. Hoodie along with Black is back, too.
Yeah.
It's Hoodie and Black at 7 o'clock, live and local. Thanks to Chris Black and for Mellor today. And Adam Abdallah for Waddle. I'm Sylvie. Have a great weekend.
That was fun stuff. That's fun stuff.
Is that the David Ross that I'm pulling out here? Not to make it sound creepy.
Is that what you call it?
Pulling out my David Ross.
Hi, it's Andre Dawson, including myself, Ed Belfort.
Who's getting wild tonight? That's what I'm talking about, baby.
No hi from you.
What?
No hi from you.
I'd give him more buys than highs.
Waddle, waddle, waddle. Then he waddled away, waddle, waddle, till the very next day. Bum, 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 bum.
And thank you to all and to all a good night.